going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Three in the Key podcast. It is myself not in the passenger seat today, actually sitting at a legitimate desk across from MD, aka Miles. What's going on, dude?
What's going on, man? We've upgraded today.
We have.
Wow.
I feel a little weird that our knees are not touching right now. And I cannot hear your breathing.
I know. It's weird because right now we're not in like a hot car, like steaming it up together with like two other dudes.
We've legit just been on doing sauna sessions with each other while doing a podcast, essentially. That's what those cars have been like.
I did speaking of sauna sessions, I did hot yoga last night for the first time.
How was
it? To appease the wife.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've sweat that much in my entire life.
And that's saying something because you sweat a lot.
Yeah. And on top of that, like my skin, I sweat so much, my skin exfoliated.
Wait, like, you're like shedding?
Yeah.
Like a snake?
Yes.
Mamba mentality. Living it out.
Filipino Mamba in the house. Oh my goodness.
You graduated from Manny Pacquiao to Black Mamba overnight.
Yes. My dreams have come true. My dreams have come true.
Feel free to sponsor us that hot yoga studio, and we could have given you a shout out right here.
Core Power Yoga, sponsor us. My wife loves hot yoga. Ryan and I, if Core Power Yoga sponsors us, we will do hot yoga once a month.
Absolutely. I can commit to that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fluid that will be coming out of my body. My pores will be oozing because I already sweat enough as it is. You and I both actually sweat.
We just stand here and
sweat. Abnormal amount.
Yeah.
So all that to say, it's an upgrade to be sitting at a desk and doing this podcast. So yes, again, welcome back. Please make sure to subscribe to the Three in the Key podcast. If you're not subscribed, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, essentially anywhere else. Make sure to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and help keep us going. Without further ado, Miles, let's go ahead and get into our first key.
Let's do it.
All right, MD. The Lakers, since our last recording, have played one game, but a lot has happened in that one game, or even since their last game for that matter. They defeated the Bulls 118-112. It was a road victory that concluded the road trip for the Lakers. They went 3-0, and LBJ posted his third straight triple-double, first time since Magic in 87, and now they have their win streak up to 6 games, which is the first time since the 2010-2011 season. So a lot of milestones are being accomplished on this Lakers run, but I feel like there's a lot to talk about because that win wasn't very pretty. You like the end result, but it wasn't the prettiest of things. I don't know what your thoughts were. We didn't get to watch this one together, but was there anything that stood out to you right away or that you want to dive into from the start?
Speaking of all those nice highlights you posted, Lakers are first in the league.
They are.
We are number one in the league. Literally, a bunch of people before this game posted their weekly power rankings on Monday, saying that the Sixers were number one, and now you look like fools.
Yep.
2 days later, or a day later, you were a fool because they have lost. And now the Lakers have the best record in the league. When was the last time the Lakers have had the best record in the league? I don't even know. I don't want to know.
It's been far too long.
It's been way too long.
I was a child back then.
It was probably before either one of us was married.
When we were
like playing pickup at the LA Fitness.
Yes.
At like 9 p.m., running the court till midnight, then going to Denny's for skillets.
You were getting skillets. Yeah, I was getting grand slams like a normal human being.
Skillets are the future, bro. Everyone loves the sizzle.
Skillets.
Speaking of sizzling, LBJ is sizzling hot right now.
Incredible.
That's
transition.
The first thing I want to talk
incredible
about
transition.
For the first game. This is his third straight triple-double.
Yes.
First since Magic in 87.
Yep.
That is crazy. I know this win was disgusting.
It was.
But the one consistent LBJ, and Anthony Davis didn't have a good game.
No.
This was his first game struggling, and we talked about it in our last podcast. That was our biggest worry. When one of the superstars struggles, who's going to step up, take the lead? And on top of that, Avery Bradley was out, who also had a good game.
Right.
And gives us 10 points a game and solid defense. Who is going to step up and help us?
Yeah.
And we saw, I think, two people step up this game. It was Quinn Cook and Kuzma.
Yep.
Quinn Cook had an amazing game.
He did.
He's exactly what we need around LeBron.
Yes.
Corner three, hang out, can take the ball down and hit consistent threes and drive.
Yes, and his shots were timely too.
I think
the fourth quarter when we were clawing back in and wanting to expand the lead once we did capture, he hit a couple of really, really big threes in the corner. So I was super thankful to see those finally go in, because he was struggling, quite frankly.
He was.
Prior to this game, I don't recall him having a particularly good game, or a memorable one for that.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see him get back into the swing of things.
I will say, though, in previous games, we haven't seen him play 26 minutes. He got 26 minutes this game, and it's like, thank you. Finally, he gets more playing time.
Yeah.
Because he's going to hit threes more than KCP will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all Laker fans can agree, KCP is still bad. I don't know why he gets 20 minutes a game. Like, I don't understand why Quinn Cook didn't start instead of KCP.
Yeah.
Especially, but I love the matchup that Quinn Cook, not only can we talk about his offense, but he, and this is where the Lakers died, was with Kobe White. He was destroying the Lakers in the first half.
Yes.
I think he had 16 points to end the half.
Yeah.
And Quinn Cook... Fogel made some great adjustments during half and said, Quinn Cook, whenever Kobe's in, you're going to stay in. And that got him going. It was a perfect matchup. Was able to defend him properly, stay on him, really shut him down the second half, and then also take off.
Right. And I think that's where the Lakers are going to really need to tighten things up, is with their backcourt defense. We've talked about it. We know that their frontcourt is really solid. Like, no one's going to consistently be able to score on AD, Dwight, LeBron. Like, they're just too big. They're going to fluster opponents more often than not. But the backcourt for the Lakers, it's really a guessing game about who's going to be consistent. So Kobe White tore him up. You saw LaVine, Satoransky. Satoransky reminds me of Zataran's Rice for some reason. Just that name. I'm just picturing the dude with the trumpet. So we got the Rice Master.
I'm more an Uncle Ben's guy than a Zataran's guy, you know? Wakanda forever, you know?
Wakanda
Uncle
forever,
Ben's.
Aunt Jemima. It's just a great, big, happy family.
I think I saw on Reddit the other day, like, an Uncle Ben, Aunt Jemima, like, meme of them hugging each other. It was great.
They would be the most affectionate and loving family. I would love to be adopted by them. And I love my parents. Just like an extended family, you know? I don't want to abandon my current family.
It would
family.
Be Uncle them. Ben and Aunt Jemima. It would just, I would love to be part of the family and call them Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben.
Yes, absolutely. They would have great food, great love, great warmth all around. But yeah, Satoransky. So Satoransky didn't do too much against us. He had 7 points, 4 rebounds, six assists. But Kobe White, he played 23 minutes and carved us up for 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And he shot 7 for 15. And he's a rookie, right?
He's a rookie.
So,
University of North Carolina.
And don't get me wrong, like, he's a good player. He's very talented. But those are the type of players who are capable of going off against the Lakers and we're very vulnerable against, because our backcourt defense isn't solid right now. And we're having to play a guessing game with kind of putting in Cook, Caruso, KCP, Troy Daniels, some combination of those guys when Bradley and Rondo are out are getting a lot of playing minutes. But thankfully for this game, Cook stepped up offensively to make up for the backcourt defensive woes that were experienced earlier in the game.
Right. And I think another big part of this game was the turnovers.
Yeah.
We have it on our notes here. I love that you called it, and it's exactly what it is. Turnovers of death.
Hey,
we were getting so destroyed. We were down 19 because there's so many silly turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
I legitimately saw Kuzma turn over the ball 3 straight times, and I was getting so upset.
Yeah.
I know the first half is definitely, and this is another point we'll talk about later, Kuz's play, but it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I was getting so upset that first half. And I was texting you. Remember that?
I was
like, Kuz, you were trash, bro. Why are you have not played and you're literally taking and just chucking threes. one three was like 3 feet behind the 3-point line. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah,
what's wrong with you?
Right.
Sorry, I was getting so excited right there.
You're going King Kong on the mic right now. These poor people at home are having to turn down their bass. No, I completely agree with that. When I turned on the game, I think it was like mid to late third quarter, and they were down double digits for sure. I forget what the exact number was. And Kuzma missed a couple shots, and I got your text message, and I was like, wow, he's playing really bad. I looked at the box score. He is not playing well at all. And I started to just go back to earlier conversations we had, like doubts about whether or not Kuzma could be that legitimate third star for this team, someone who could be relied upon. And I was like, I don't know if he's ever going to be. I know it's early. He's trying to work his way back, but I was like, I don't know if he can do it, though. But he did come alive in the fourth, towards the end of the third to the fourth quarter. He kept shooting, and that's what shooters do. They shoot, and he got himself out of a slump and had like a personal 5-0 run, hit a big three, had the drive and the and one. I don't remember if he converted the free throw or not, but just big plays to get them back in the game.
Yeah.
So it was promising because so much of the Lakers' success going on the rest of the regular season can be dependent on whether or not he can find success on his own too. So that was huge. That was huge. And another key point, so Kuzma, during that run, I'm pretty sure LBJ and AD were still both sitting.
They were. It was the backup lineup. It was Quinn Cook, AC, Kuzma, Dwight, and I forget who the fourth person was. I think it was like a change between Troy Daniels and KCP or Danny Green or something like that.
Yeah, but the point being, Kuz was being relied upon as the main source of offense to get them back in the game. Yeah. And I think Vogel recognized that the Lakers were down big, and rather than leaving LBJ and AD out there to try and carry the load and get them back in the game by themselves, he was like, all right, I'm going to rest these guys and see if Kuz can actually deliver. Because if he can, you have yourself in a very advantageous situation where you bring LBJ and AD back in, they're rested, and you were able to get a run going. And that's what happened. So Vogel did take a gamble, because I was watching that game. I was like, yo, why is AD and LeBron resting still? They need to come back in.
Yeah.
But Vogel was patient, and it paid off. I think if they would have lost this game, he may have gotten some flack for the decision to rest them as long as he did.
Right.
But it paid off, and it helped Kuz get into a rhythm, and the Lakers were able to ultimately go on a run and seal the win. So that was cool.
It was awesome. I think by the time LBJ and AD came back in, the Lakers actually already had a lead. I think it was like 1-2 points.
Yeah.
And they came back and they had a lead.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I know LBJ led them to kind of have in the half with like 10 points at the third. And then it was all that second unit that came back, made up for those 10 points. And it was great. It was
awesome. Definitely.
But since we're talking so much about Kuz, let's just jump into our second point and talk about Kuz.
Yeah, let's do it.
So jumping into key two, Kyle Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know my mom actually wanted to name me Kyle instead of Miles?
Really?
That's how she got. That's why I have a Y in my name. That's why it's M Y L E S.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she who vetoed Kyle?
My mom did.
Wait, your mom vetoed Kyle?
Yeah. She's like, Kyle's too common. I'm gonna name him Miles instead because it's a little different, and we'll keep the Y.
So you could have been KD.
Dude, I didn't even think about that.
Wow.
But you know, there are a lot of great MDs out there too, so.
There are.
It's all good. And plus, I don't want to be associated with a cupcake. Come on, KD, cupcake.
Oh, yes. Okay, it took me a second, but you're right.
Snake, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Instead,
you got broccoli head.
But heading into our second point, Kyle Kuzma. Mm-hmm. 21 minutes, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 7 for 16, plus 4 PER at the end of the game. Great game for him. 3-point percentage was very poor at 1 for 8, 12.5%.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a big issue that we've talked about before previously. Especially coming back from injury, I don't think you should be chucking up threes to get yourself going.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not a shooter.
Right.
But
He thinks he's a shooter. He does.
But overall, he's back. Mm-hmm. I think we saw it, and watching the game, we saw it. Lakers called a timeout when they're up, or I believe the Bulls called a timeout when the Lakers started gained the lead.
Yeah.
AD came to him and told him, "You're back." That was amazing.
Yeah.
Seeing him mouth those words to Kyle Kuzma, just kind of that next, that young gun, that third player that they're really looking forward mm-hmm. to help them on the offensive end. And just that encouragement coming from such a big all-star.
Right.
Especially from the previous two games, kind of less minutes, not scoring as well, bad percentage,
mm-hmm.
nothing pretty much on the box score other than a few rebounds, no assists, but he came back and he helped and it was amazing.
Right,
what
right.
are your thoughts?
The big thing to me that stood out is the 8 3-point attempts. Like you said, it's not ideal for someone who's trying to work their way back from injury and get back into game shape and a game flow to be shooting threes. You want to see someone who is, you know, working around screens, getting to the mid-range, getting to the basket, get some free throws, get your confidence up. But in this game, Kuz shot one free throw, and it was that and one, the really impressive and one that he made and then missed the free throw. But that was his only free throw attempt. And the game before that against San Antonio, he didn't have a free throw attempt. And then his very first game back against Dallas, he had 4 attempts, made 3 of them. But the point being, I think he can be more aggressive in getting to the basket because he's limiting himself for defenders to just play up on him.
Yeah.
They're not respecting the drive, and he's athletic. He can get to the basket. He's a tall dude. He's 6'8". He's long. He needs to understand that he's capable of a lot more than just shooting from the perimeter. And I don't want to see him fall into this trap of just volume shooting to get himself going. Like, the most effective way to get yourself going as a scorer is to draw contact, get to the free throw line, and get some points, practice that stroke, and then get some confidence that way.
See the ball go in, right?
Yeah.
Anytime. Even when you and I are playing pickup, when mm-hmm. we're having a bad shooting day, what is the first thing then we do? We go in and we just literally try and drive, pound the ball. Mm-hmm. Play post up, you know, get an easy layup or bucket and get the foul or something just to see the ball go in
yeah.
and kind of instill confidence in us. And we didn't see that at all with him.
Yeah, true. And this kind of just came to my mind because you're right. Like, that's something that I used to do where, like, if I wasn't able to get going, I would start driving. But as I've gotten older and much more out of shape, and not crazy old, but like in my later 20s, like when I'm tired, I don't want to drive because it's exhausting. Like, it takes a lot of effort to get inside. You're gonna most likely get contact. It takes a little bit more physical ability to maneuver your way into the paint. So I'm thinking for Kuz, that could be a reason why he's avoiding driving, because he's probably tired. Like, right. This is only his third game back. He's probably exhausted. He doesn't have the legs that he's accustomed to having. So I'm hoping that's the case, but regardless, he needs to start driving a little bit more, getting to the basket, because if he falls in love with just shooting from the perimeter and this carries on, then it's not going to bode well for himself or the Lakers, because at this point in his career, he hasn't proven himself to be a reliable shooter.
Right. I mean, we talked about it last week. He, or not even last week, just 3-4 days ago, his 3-point shooting went down year to year and it hasn't improved. So we know that, honestly, those 3-point shots are probably just laziness or tired legs.
Yeah.
And at 24, second year, I don't think you should be having tired legs yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might give it to someone like LeBron or someone else that's proven themselves, a Danny Green. But someone like Kuz that's still young, that's still improving and still has a lot to prove.
Right.
He needs to be taking that contact, be driving in, because that's what we fell in love with Kuz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those little baby hooks that he
throws
up.
That's
we
right.
all love
that's
those.
Right.
Driving little baby hook, he can finish with either hand,
mm-hmm.
getting in there and using his mismatch with his speed, especially being a power forward
mm-hmm.
at 6'8", lanky, and just driving past those players, still able to take a little contact and score
right.
within that like 10-foot range.
Right. And yeah, another good point to mention is, so he was 0 for 8 from 3? Is that what we saw?
It was 1 for 8
from 3. So he had 7 misses from 3, but total he was 7 of 16 from the field. So that means there were only, if I'm doing my math correctly, there were only two misses that he had that weren't three-point attempts.
Yeah.
That shows that he, when he is shooting from within the three-point line, he's extremely effective.
Yeah.
So it's not to say he needs to abandon three-point shot whatsoever. It just means that he should be a little bit more conscious of how his shot distributions are going. You know, every possession is very valuable, so you don't want to be wasting them on just chucking up threes. So something to consider, you know. But it was encouraging though to see him get into a flow, because he actually did play a really good game, all things considered. 7 of 16 isn't a terrible night. That's a good night for someone who, especially coming off of an injury. And I would go as far to say the Lakers don't win the game against Chicago if it wasn't for Kuz.
Oh, I will agree with that. I think Lakers don't win the game without Kuz, or Lakers don't win the game without Quinn Cook either.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those guys don't step up, they lose the game for sure. I think at the end of the half, after watching the game, they were talking about the Bulls bench literally doubled. I think they had like 36 points and the Lakers had like 14 points. Bench had 14 points. Yeah. They more than doubled the Lakers bench. And I was just like, wow, no wonder we're losing by so much.
Yeah.
AD and LeBron carrying the load, and AD's having a terrible game.
Mm-hmm.
We needed those two to step up. And by the end of the game, the Lakers didn't double the Bulls points, but the Lakers bench outscored the Bulls bench. And that's what we need consistently,
right,
I think, to help AD and LeBron moving forward. Because one of our points from last podcast was AD and LeBron can't be 50% of the points anymore.
Yeah.
If we're going to make a long run in the playoffs and and win the championship, they can't score 50% of the points. I don't think any championship team has had it where their two guys carry the team.
Mm-hmm.
We see it with, I mean, maybe we saw it back in the day with MJ and Scottie Pippen carrying teams, Kobe, Shaq carrying teams, but nowadays, that's not how it is. Especially the defense with three-point shots, with the defense playing a lot more rougher, everything's kind of changed. The game isn't as slow now because there's more possession, so people can outpace you.
Right.
And we've seen that with, like, and I'm not trying to bag on any other team, but Portland, they don't make it far because it's literally Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
Mm-hmm.
You shut one of those guys down,
mm-hmm.
everyone knows that's the formula. You shut down Damian Lillard or you shut down McCollum, and that's it. They can maybe win one or two games, but they're not going to win a 7-game series.
Yeah.
We see on Houston again, too. They're trying with a two punch, and it's not going to work. Because, I mean, luckily they have Eric Gordon who kind of balanced things out. But you shut down James Harden, which you can't really shut him down. But you shut down CP3, or you make it difficult for them, they're not going to win a 7-game series.
Yeah, exactly. Because teams in the playoffs, for one, they're higher caliber teams. And then, two, they have a whole series to make adjustments. So in the regular season, it oftentimes produces favorable results because that opponent only has a short amount of time to game plan for you. They see you once and then they don't see you again for another few months.
Right.
But in a 7-game series, teams are well coached enough to where they can make adjustments. They have personnel that they can switch up. And so it is important for sure to make sure that you do have that balance. And Kuz showing the flashes that he did in this game was very important because he's a key piece to bring that balance. I just have this visual of Thanos in my mind right now. You know, didn't he have a quote about like bring balance?
Or something? He did.
So we need that Thanos balance going on. So yeah, it was good.
I love it. I would say to me, other than the shooting that pointed out, his rebounds and assists, if Kuz is going to become that third star behind LeBron and AD, he needs to help on the rebounds and get more assists. He can't have one assist for the past three games.
Right.
With those minutes. Like, if you're not going to score well, or if you're having a game struggling, the greats always then will say, all right, then I'll grab more rebounds than anyone. All right, then I'll get more assists than everyone. All right, I'll get more blocks than everyone. Like, find other ways to affect the game. And that's, I think, why my biggest worry and calling out Kuz of being just a Michael Beasley, where he's one-dimensional and just scoring, is he doesn't affect the defensive end or anything on the offense other than scoring.
Right.
So if he doesn't score, he's kind of just out there.
Right.
he'll draw a body, but everyone can, like, Quinn Cook draws a body. Any three-point shooter will draw a body. Troy Daniels will still draw a body, and he hasn't been playing well.
Right.
Because they don't want to give him an open three.
Yeah.
So that's where I think also if he's going to be that lead on the second unit. Also, we can have this debate too. Starting or second unit for Kuz, but if he's going to be that second unit starting and that person, that sixth man, he definitely needs to affect the game other than just scoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because more often than not, he's playing a forward position. He's usually slotted at the four. Mm-hmm. And let's just say he's playing alongside Dwight, for example. Dwight's going to get a lot of rebounds, but that's no excuse for only coming up with, you know, five or less rebounds in a whole game. Now, he only played, 21 minutes in this game against Chicago, but as his minutes start to increase and he starts to become a more reliable part of the rotation, we need to be seeing more production on the rebounds and with blocks and, like you said, those hustle type of stats, because offense isn't always going to be there. Like, even the great players have slumps. Right. And what separates those great players from just an average player is that they can affect the game in more than one category than just scoring. Like, sometimes you watch, like, LeBron play and you don't even realize that he's having a really off offensive night.
Right.
You know, he could be starting the game 2 for 7, but he also has 7 assists and 6 rebounds through right. 2 quarters, and he's having an impact. And that's the type of thing you want to see Kuz do too. So yeah, hopefully he's able to continue to make progress, get healthy, and as the minutes start to ramp up and he becomes a more reliable part of the offense, the other stats fall in line as well. But I think overall we agree he had an impressive game.
Yes. We're definitely, at the end of the day, we're excited he's back. We just want to push him to be great mm-hmm. and not just settle for good. All right. Well, speaking of another great power forward on our team, Anthony Davis. He had some controversial comments.
Oh, boy.
And let's talk about them in our next key.
Yep. All right, yeah, so like you mentioned, AD had some controversial comments the night before the game against Chicago. Chicago's obviously his hometown, so he's making his rounds, probably saying hi to friends and family. And on Monday night, the night before their Tuesday night game against the Bulls, he's at his alma mater, so his old high school, and there's some sort of, I forget what the exact event is that's taking place there, but he gets asked a question. There's like a Q&A session with some people at his alma mater, and they ask him about whether or not he's gonna ever come home and play for the Bulls, since the Chicago's his hometown. And this is his response, and this is a quote. He says, "Honestly, it's nothing like playing at home. I don't know, I mean, I am a free agent next year, but we'll see, it's a possibility." And that, he danced around it enough to where it just kind of built a narrative that the Lakers aren't a for sure thing for Anthony Davis next year. Now we'll talk about it some more, because I think there's more to it than that. But it was enough of a response to cause Laker fans, Chicago fans, and the NBA at large to kind of sound the alarms, like, whoa, hold up, like, this guy's not for sure going to be a Laker next year. So let me start it off. I'll give you kind of my perspective of it, and then you can kind of sound off of it as well. So this is my thing. The guy's at his hometown, and he's being asked by people inside the community that he adores. He clearly loves his hometown. He's in Chicago. And he's being asked in the high school that he played at whether or not he would ever consider to come back home and play for his home team. This is just my opinion, but I'm of the belief that he was totally people-pleasing here, that he doesn't legitimately want to come back to the Bulls next year. Sure, maybe it's going to be something that he does, like, down the line, like, maybe to end his career or, you know, several years later or down the line from now. But I think any sort of rumors that are saying that he's legitimately considering signing with the Bulls next year rather than signing long-term with the Lakers, like most of us expect him to do, is just ridiculous. And is really just kind of the typical Laker hating narrative that people are putting out there to just get clicks and whatnot. I think this is totally blown out of proportion and that's not actually going to happen, but that's just my opinion. Maybe there is some more to it, but I don't know. Is there anything that stands out to you, MD, about this? Are you agreeing with me, or do you think that there could be some legitimacy to what he said?
I am in 100% agreement with you. Honestly, you look at the video, he's in front of a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You think he's gonna be like, no kids, I'm not coming to Chicago. Chicago is going to continue to suck. Garpax is gonna continue to lead this franchise into an eternal death spiral of a franchise. I mean, I talked to all my Chicago friends and Chicago Bull fan friends, and they're like, they hate Garpax. It's a terrible, like, they are running the franchise into the ground. We can talk, and I can go on a long tangent about how they've had awesome talent, and they've let them go, and they're literally just kind of in the middle of, they're that team that's like, okay, they're okay, they can challenge some great teams, but they're still in the JV league. They're in the JV, the East, and they still can't make and be one of the top 10, top 8 teams and make the playoffs consistently.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't been good since Derrick Rose. And when they finally found Derrick Rose, they ruined him.
The poor
they
guy.
Literally just played him to death.
Tibbs, yeah.
Yeah.
The Tibbs effect.
Yeah, and it was just like, and it's the same thing. Why do these stars, if they were such a good franchise, and they are, I mean, they have the history with MJ, why do they keep losing their superstars?
Yeah.
In free agency.
Yeah, there's a problem with the coaching that they've had in place and the general management. I think that it starts from within and it doesn't start with the players. Like, you can have good talent and not execute on the floor. And the Bulls have had some talent. Like, they haven't had like superstar like caliber players since D Rose, but they still have talent and they can put together good run. We just saw them almost beat the Lakers last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's not to say that they can't, that they're not a good team, but it starts with them. So I don't know. All this to say, I don't think Anthony Davis is going to be a Bull next year at this time. I don't think you're going to see him in the red and black. So I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. It's kind of, if you ever have pursued a girl and... Okay, I'm gonna throw back to my high school days. You know, there was this girl I had a crush on, and the feelings were not mutual.
Mutual in which way? Was it, did you just like her?
Yes, I just liked her. But I was way too afraid.
Can we get a name, Roytar?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I mean, you've been married 5 years now. I think it's true. Safe place.
I'm not ready for this, man. I ain't ready for this kind of exposure. You know, I'm trying to open up my heart a little bit, and you just want to rip it open. So here's the thing, and this is going to be an illustration for how I believe this situation is playing out. So myself back then in my high school days had a crush on this girl. I knew she didn't like me in that way, but I was still holding out hope that if I waited long enough and I was patient enough, that, you know, she would eventually like see, you know what, he is a great guy and I should consider being with him. This was a terrible strategy and ended up in me just spiraling and realizing like, wow, there are, just coming to like this moment of realization, like, wow, there are way more people in the world. Why am I just so focused on this one person?
Right.
And I kind of feel like that's how it is in a sense with the Chicago and AD relationship. They're not like going full force, like recruiting AD right now. They know they're his hometown, but whenever there's like little events like this, you know, people are asking questions and AD is too nice. AD is the girl in this scenario.
Yeah.
He's too nice just to just shoot straight and say, look, there is no chance. Mm-hmm. Like, if there is a chance, it's going to be when I'm at the very end of my career and it doesn't really matter anymore besides me just like getting some last stats and coming back home and finishing my career somewhere where I'm comfortable and I'm close to my family and I can retire.
Right.
But right now he's playing the girl and just being like, oh, I'm just going to give you a little bit of hope, just enough to not break your heart because I'm a nice person.
Still wants the chocolates, still wants the flowers, still wants you to open the door,
yes.
Still wants you to do all those like cute, nice things, but definitely is not into you.
because let's be real, like that's endearing, yeah, like, for the female or for Anthony Davis in the scenario. And but the guy who, and myself, you know, I would have kept doing it. Like, you know, if you're going to keep the door open, I'm going to keep coming back to the door and bringing those flowers, bringing those chocolates, asking like, hey, are you interested now? Are you interested now? This and that. But ultimately, I don't see it going anywhere. And there's going to be a moment where the Bulls organization and the NBA at large is going to realize, you know what, there's really nothing here. Why did we ever think that there was something here? Let's kind of just move on from this. But that's really not going to happen because we live in a generation where there's so much clickbait and, you know, two sentences of a quote can get blown out of proportion.
Right.
But this is all just, there's so much being made of it that there's really nothing here. I think everyone just needs to move on and realize that Anthony Davis is a Laker and is more than likely going to be a Laker for the foreseeable future once he signs his long-term deal.
That was a great metaphor, by the way, can I say? It's just, that was great. I think
I tried so hard to make that connect, and I'm pretty sure it didn't connect perfectly. I'm pretty sure I compared 80 to a girl, but you know my intent there, you know? Yeah. I think it was similar enough.
Yeah.
It was similar enough.
It was great. It was great. I loved it. So AD is the hot girl.
AD is a hot girl.
AD is a very hot girl.
Go ahead and
Chicago is the nice guy that's stuck in the friend zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. You simplified it in a way that took me 20 sentences.
But it's a great explanation. I loved it. I definitely will agree with that. Chicago is the nice guy city. I've been to Chicago, love the city. Everyone there is so nice, but I could totally see why it's getting friend-zoned with the way that the organization is run.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that a ton of free agents are going to right now.
No. But here's, like, and this is the last thing I'll make on this point. Like, Chicago is a place where people should want to go. Like, it's a large market. It has history. One of the greatest basketball players of all time played there, has a statue outside the building. So it should be a desirable destination, and it will be at some point. Like, there's going to be a superstar at some point who signs with the organization. Like, it's not that crazy to foresee. It's not like you're imagining right. Kevin Durant signing with the Suns for right. 6 years or something like that. This is the Chicago Bulls. They're a historic franchise, but the right person is out there for the Bulls. And I mean, look, I found the love of my life. And here's the thing, like, I'm glad that I didn't ultimately end up with the person that I was pursuing in high school. Because for one, I was a child and didn't really know what I wanted. But two, like, looking back, I'm like, wow, like, why did I think that that person was the ideal fit? You know, like, being married now for 5 years.
I don't want to say their name now.
Yes. Like, you know, I love my wife. I love Wendy. And, you know, she's, you know, the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my days with. And that person is out there for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chicago Bulls, stay patient.
Maybe they've had their person already. It's been Michael, and then that's it. That's it. Chicago will be into the abyss.
Wow. Is it? So, you know what? No, I'm not going to continue on this analogy. You know, I could keep going, but yeah.
All right. I think we made some great points on those 80 comments. I think everyone, like you said, just blowing it out of proportion. AD is going to be a Laker. They gave up way too much. I mean, he signed with Clutch Sports with LeBron. LeBron has 3 more years. I don't think anything. They're kicking butt right now. Even if they don't win the finals, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's all I got on that particular key. So no more no more formal high school love comparisons with AD in Chicago for me. I'll leave it there.
All right. Are you ready to close this bad boy, this podcast?
Let's do it. All right, MD. As is customary at this point, we're going to end this episode with a little point 4. Also known as rapid fire. We've titled this segment point 4 as a nod to Derek Fisher's amazing point 4 shot against the Spurs way back in the day. The point is, you get asked a question, usually you're choosing between one or two options, and knee-jerk reaction in 0.4 seconds, you let us know which you prefer over the other. So I'll ask these and let's do our best to try and answer them at the exact same time. And if we have a disagreement, we can talk about it a little bit. All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, sir. Number one, Xbox or PlayStation? Xbox.
PlayStation. I think it's because we both grew up on different consoles, though. I grew up on a PlayStation.
Different backgrounds.
You grew up on an Xbox, right?
Definitely. I was a big Halo guy.
Oh, yeah.
What was your go-to growing up?
I was a big RPG guy, so I loved all the Final Fantasies and stuff. All of that, like the storyline developed. I'm a big story guy.
Nerd. Okay. Yeah. Number two. Christmas or Thanksgiving?
Christmas. Yes.
Good man.
Yes. I mean... That. Same food, plus you get gifts. I'm gonna take Christmas all day, every day. Thanksgiving, it's the same food, no gifts.
True, true. All right, we'll leave it at that. Eggnog, yay or nay?
Nay. Ew, bro, you love eggnog?
Big eggnog fan. Here's the thing, you gotta pour a sizable glass. It can't be too big because eggnog is heavy as heck and you'll be in the bathroom for a while if you do.
Speaking from personal experience, I'm taking it.
Every year.
Yeah.
Second thing to note, sprinkle in a little nutmeg on top. Changes the game. You'll thank me later in about, what, 5-6 weeks from now? You'll see.
I don't know. Why not apple cider? Hot apple cider or some hot chocolate?
I didn't say it was the only drink of choice. It's right, right. But come Christmas season, I'm going through Stater Brothers with Wendy.
Yeah.
Just need to go get a gallon of milk. Uh-huh. I was like, whoa. Eggnog's here now. Pick up one of those. Get the half gallon.
Half gallon? No wonder you're in the toilet. Half gallon of eggnog. No wonder.
The ultimate pregame. Ultimate pre-workout.
Need to lose some pounds? Drink eggnog.
That's like the opposite. You're going to gain weight for sure. If you need to make weight for some sort of wrestling match or something, and make weight as in put on weight, eggnog, the way to go.
Bulking season.
Definitely. All right, so next one. Black Panther or Captain America?
Black Panther. Yeah, we both. Yeah. I love Cap, but Black Panther. Wakanda forever.
You're a huge Black Panther fan.
Yeah. I love the movie. It was so good.
It's such a cool movie, yeah.
It is. It was a great movie. I mean... At my bachelor party, I just made everyone do Wakanda forever everywhere we went. I loved it.
It was a great time. Magic or LeBron?
Magic. Yeah. LeBron's great and everything, but we got Magic in his prime.
Yeah.
And prime Magic will beat LeBron right now. I think prime Magic might have a step over prime LeBron. Maybe.
You think so?
Maybe they play so similar, though. It's hard to tell.
LeBron's definitely more physical, and I think he would, kind of... just take Magic into the paint.
Yeah.
But if we're just talking just as far as an admiration standpoint, I'm taking Magic over LeBron every day. I mean, we're Lakers fans. Like LeBron or Magic is like a true Laker. And LeBron, he's becoming part of the Laker family now, but I don't think he'll ever reach the type of love that we have for someone like Magic.
Agreed. I just think Magic had like better passes still. LeBron can pass, but like the way that
Magic
took over the game with his passes, we haven't seen that since like J. Kidd, Steve Nash.
Right.
So he was that kind of player and he could shoot. And I will definitely say Magic had a better clutch gene than LeBron did.
Mm.
He definitely knew when to pick up his spots.
Yeah.
He ran that Showtime Laker team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, here's a good one. KCP or Smush Parker? 1, 2, 3, Smush.
Neither. Cut them both.
The fact, yeah, okay, that really speaks to our choices there. Miles would rather choose no one. He'd rather have four players on the court
rather than
choose between KCP or Smush Parker. Oh man,
I think about Smush, I'd agree with you.
Gosh.
At least Smush had like great dunks.
He did. There was an entertainment factor with Smush that KCP just doesn't have. Hating on KCP is too easy. It's like the production just hasn't been there. And then even when he has like a fast break, it's just like this boring layup, and it's just, there's nothing there. Like, at least Smush would go like 2 for 12, but those two would be like cool dunks.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, all right, you know, like that was cool for those moments, but yeah. Then you hate him afterwards.
Yeah.
KCP, you're just hating him before, during, and after, you know? Yeah. So neither options are ideal. All right, how about you, you ask these next ones?
All right, so Sasha the Machine Vujicic or Danny Pristine Grapes Green?
Ooh, this is tough.
They're both championship caliber.
Yes.
Both three-point shooters. Great three-point shooters. Both solid man of D.
All right.
One, two, three.
Sasha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sasha, I love the hair. The like accent. I love that he didn't wear green for when they got beat by the Celtics for the whole year. Like, you'll never see Danny Green do something like that.
He was an underrated, fierce competitor.
He was. Yeah. I love his annoying defense.
Yes.
Pick up everyone full court. I loved it.
He was kind of like the Patrick Beverley before Patrick Beverley.
He was.
Like, he wasn't, like, as small and, like, you don't see him as scrappy, but he had that mentality where he's like, I'm just going to do anything to bother you and just get under your skin. And he could shoot, dude. Like, he could really shoot. So,
lights out.
Like you said, great hair, too.
Yeah, you know, really, great hair.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved seeing him just pick up anyone full court. Do you remember when him and Goran Dragic, they're both from the same country, but he still hated him on the other team. And I love that, you know? I love seeing that.
Yep. All right. Let's go through some of these next ones pretty quick, just for the sake of getting through these. Because, wow, we got a lot. We wrote a lot of these.
We're a little overzealous.
Holy smokes.
All right. Ready? Yeah. Glasses or contacts?
Contacts.
Oh.
Green, disagree.
Gum or mint?
Gum.
Bread or rice?
Bread.
Rice.
Asian.
Yeah. Scrambled eggs or sunny side up?
Scrambled.
Sunny side.
Wow.
Oh, wow. waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
Yay.
Sausage or bacon?
Bacon.
Phil Jackson or Pat Riley?
Phil.
Kwame or Chris Mim?
Chris
Kwame.
Mim.
Kwame was more fun. He's just dumb.
Gosh.
Entertainment value.
Chris Mim was on such a bad team that there were moments where I was like, all right, he's actually decent.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Kwame was like next to some...
He was a first round pick. He was first pick too.
Yeah, we just had high expectations for him. All right, anyways.
Lamar or Kuzma?
Lamar.
Yeah. What's your go-to shot?
So this is like, we're playing pickup and like, if I'm ISO'd, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to drive right and pull up.
Yeah, I'd say that around like the free throw line.
Yeah.
That like distance. Yeah.
I'll probably put it between my legs once, so I'll...
No comments. You'll probably dribble between your legs.
Between my legs once to the left side, cross over to my right.
Pull up.
Pull up.
Yeah.
That's my shot right there.
Yep.
It's very predictable, so I've been blocked many times. What's yours? Was that yours too?
No.
Oh.
Mine is definitely any kind of left-hand side layup.
Yes.
Super easy.
You love the spin cycle.
I love spin cycles. So whether that's like a left-hand hook or an up and under, kind of any kind of left spinning, anything that'll confuse or let me use my body to kind of like get you out of the way.
Yes.
I'm kind of a little more stocky, you know?
Yes.
I can say that now. My wife loves me for who I am.
More to love.
Definitely confident about my body.
We're learning a lot about each other right now. Yeah.
All right. Throw the lob or dunk the lob?
Okay. I'm ready.
One, two, three.
Throw.
Dunk.
Ooh. Oh, see, this makes me wish that you could dunk.
I know.
Because then
I can't
have
dunk
this
on like
connection.
An 8-foot rim, you know. Maybe we'll just find an 8-foot next time.
True. I think there were like some 7-year-olds I walked by on the way here.
Down, let's smash.
I think they're down.
Yeah, let's destroy them.
Alright, I'll throw lobs.
Alright, and our last one. I already know the answer to this one for both of us.
Wait, do you?
Mow the lawn or do a sink full of dishes? One, two, three.
Mow the lawn. Did you know mine was gonna be mow the lawn?
Yeah.
You did?
I've never mown the lawn in my entire life.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Unbelievable.
Always hired someone, but I would have to do the dishes. Like, and like all the dishes, everything. And I'm just a master at it. It takes me like 30 minutes now because of how many times I've done it.
Do you hand wash or put them in the dishwasher? Because that's a big
hand point. Hand wash.
Wow, and you still would choose doing the dishes. Yep. I can do that.
Yeah.
I'd rather be in the hot sun than washing dishes by hand. I hate washing dishes.
Really? I hate mowing the lawn because I've never done it.
It sucks, but it's not as bad as your fingers like getting all pruny.
Yeah, but I'll wear gloves and stuff, but it's like super easy. Like I know the formula, you know, and just get it done.
Yeah. Well, for our roommates, we know who's going to do which chore.
Yeah. Outside chores, inside chores.
Yeah. It's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the point fours, man.
Sweet.
Wow, that was really cool. Very enlightening.
Yeah. We need to go play some 7-year-olds after this.
We do. Dunk all over them. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of the Three in the Key podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Like we mentioned in the beginning, make sure to subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can find us multiple other places, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, places I've never heard of before, all the rest. So make sure to subscribe and follow us on IG as well, @3inthekeypod. We're trying to get some more stories up there as much as possible, keep you guys connected with what's going on with the Lakers. And that'll about do it, dude. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week and the weekend.
Peace. Go Lakers.